listening to the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. This is not your typical food show. We're talking about the politics of food, the corruption of our food supply, and what you can do to stand and fight back. Now, once again, here's Elizabeth.
Hey, everybody, we're back. You're listening to Food Nation Radio Network. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We're talking with Mark Castell from Cornucopia about who owns what. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time. You have a graphic on your site right now at cornucopia.org that talks about some of these bigger ag companies that own organic arms or offshoots from their larger companies. Is that right?
Yes. We have a chart called Who Owns Organics, and it's been produced for a few years by Phil Howard, who's a faculty member at Michigan State University. So we work with Phil. Dates periodically, and there's been a big merger and acquisition orgy in the organic marketplace. Now that organics is a $30 billion industry, the same companies we were trying to get away from thought organics looked like a good investment. There's not anything inherently wrong against big companies owning organic brands, but are they really holding true to the ideals that this movement was founded upon? That's the question.
That is the big question, because there's obviously a movement, a GMO movement going on. People want to know if there are genetically modified foods in their products, and we're struggling towards getting labeling of those products. At the same time, some of these same companies who opposed what's called Proposition 37 in California to label genetically modified foods also have these organic arms with other products that people are buying that they may not realize are owned by these larger companies.
Right, you are, Elizabeth. They're really taking our hard-earned money and buying the knife to stab us in the back with. And a lot of these companies, in fact, in most cases, you won't really know the background behind the ownership. For instance, you'll never see the name Dean Foods on a package of Silk Soy Milk or Horizon organic milk produced maybe on one of the factory farms that they either own or purchase from. Instead, you'll see White Wave. And likewise, you will never see the name Kellogg's on Kashi. If you go to their website, it has a story about a couple of young entrepreneurs and their values. And of course, Kashi, most of their products are not organic. They're, quote, natural, which means they're really using conventional grains and conventional sweeteners and other items. We've done testing to find they're, in fact, using genetically engineered material. So back during the Proposition 37 fight, companies like Dean Foods spent a lot of money to defeat the consumer's right to know, at the same time advertising their organic brands. They're now held by a company they spun off called White Wave. But it's the same investors, it's the same corporate officers that are getting rich, taking advantage of the goodwill of organic consumers.
Well, there are some people who think that these companies make organics more affordable for consumers than some of the other companies who might be a mom and pop organization that can't produce things in a manner that would be a little less expensive. Although, overall, I think organics are a good value. What would you say to that?
I would take exception with that thesis. When we did our investigative report looking at the cereal industry entitled Cereal Crimes, which is available on our website, we found, as an example, go back to Kashi, which probably has the largest market share in value-added cereal. They were actually charging more for conventional ingredients in Kashi than the leading organic brand of breakfast cereal, Nature's Path, that was using all certified organic ingredients. So Nature's Path is quite a large company. It's still held by the founding family. They've never betrayed their values. And when I've asked their CEO if they're making a decent living doing this, the answer is yes. So if they can make a decent living charging less for certified organic products, you have to believe that Kashi is profiteering, grossly profiteering, at the expense of their customers.
I have heard from some of these companies that say, well, you know, we're trying to meet consumer demand. Consumers want organic food, so we're trying to provide that organic food for them at an affordable price. Yet when we're trying to roll this stuff out, they're rejecting us because some of our products are still conventional and may contain GMOs. So we don't know what to do.
Well, I think if there was a bright line, you know, unfortunately, companies like Kashi have some certified organic product offering and mostly conventional. Companies like Dean Foods, when they bought the Silk product line, it was a 100% organic company. And as they've added additional new products like light soy milk or flavored coffee creamers or yogurt, they've always added them with conventional ingredients. So I don't really think there's a sincere desire in expanding the organic industry for most of these companies. I think the desire is to expand their bottom line. And again, it's not to say all large companies are automatically bad. These questions are not about corporate scale. They're about corporate ethics. So large companies like Eden Foods, Nature's Path, Organic Valley, are proving that you can make money in the organic business by doing it the old-fashioned way, honestly, and based on some fundamental values that consumers are willing to pay a premium for.
I tend to agree with you, but I also think that some of the other companies that are bigger organic companies, you know, we know some of those companies have gotten in trouble for not labeling foods appropriately. And I have to think at some point, if you want to go through that tipping point where consumers are buying mostly organic stuff or increasing their percentage of organic in what they're buying, that it'd be hard to just limit them to certain companies and have them not purchase from other companies.
Well, I think it's based on ethical approach. One large corporation that's recently changed hands, I think they were bought by Berkshire Hathaway, is Heinz. And in Europe, when they first introduced packaged foods, and it's a sophisticated market there, they didn't hide behind some facade. They used the name Heinz.
Right.
And likewise, when they introduced organic ketchup in this country, they put their own name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But how did they do it? They went to their conventional tomato farmers in California. They didn't buy on the open market through brokers. You know, one load was from California, the next from Florida, maybe Mexico. They went to their farmers and said, look, we will provide technical assistance, we'll provide some financial support, we'll give you a fair contract once you convert to organics. And then they took those tomatoes, they put them there in their own factory. They didn't use a contract production outfit. And when they were all done, they had it certified by one of the old line certifiers, and they put their own name on it. And they've done very well in the marketplace by playing by the ethical rules that we all think are part of organics. And so if they produce a product and do well, and consumers think there's a good value in that, their investors deserve to see a return.
So do you think that's a more honest and transparent way to do that?
Yeah, obviously. Transparency has always been a hallmark of organics. People, organic consumers are label readers. They want to know where their food is coming from, how it's produced, who produces it, who the farmers are. And the good organic companies, they tell that story. I mean, you know, quite frankly, I buy all organic food. I'm not just buying the food, I'm buying the story behind the food.
But in the case of Heinz, you know, obviously, you know, we're not going to know exactly where it comes from. And then there's also stuff like Kraft macaroni and cheese that makes an organic macaroni and cheese. So if kids say, hey, mom and dad, I want mac and cheese, and I love Kraft mac and cheese, you could make your own mac and cheese. But do you think there should be something said for them making the effort? Or do you think it's really just trying to pander to consumers?
Well, unlike Heinz, that I know the background on, I don't know the background on Kraft macaroni and cheese, but I do know that they're willing to put their own name on it. So they're recognizing that, geez, there's a lot of customers that like our product. They like the convenience. They may or may not like the flavor. But they want something better for their kids. They want something better in terms of safety and protection for their kids. And they might very well want the the externalities that come along with that better product for your family, knowing that our investments are doing something to protect the environment. If there are animals involved, and if there's cheese and macaroni and cheese, you know, there's some cows out there, and we expect that if they're organic cows, they're able to graze and live a respectful life, a good cow's life, not be confined in a factory farm. So if those things are important to you, you pick up the organic version of Kraft macaroni and cheese, and they have their name on it, so you can email them and ask them questions, go through their website if you want more detail than the package represents.
And I don't know how Kraft macaroni and cheese organic version is produced, but I do know there's more than one thing you have to look at here. There's the organic itself in what you're eating and consuming, but there's also how it was produced and whether it was produced in a responsible manner. I don't know with some of these companies that they consider the other half of that equation or not.
Well, I think we're helping do the research at the Cornucopia Institute. If your listeners go to our website, which is Cornucopia, CornucopiaOrg, not only can they see on that on the right hand column, if they scroll down, the Who Owns Organics chart, so you can find your favorite organic food and find out what corporation owns it or if it's an independent firm. But we also have a number of reports and scorecards. So we rate all the organic dairy products in the country, all the organic soy foods, eggs, cereal. And so if you want to know, does your brand support family farmers? Or are they buying from, quote, organic factory farms for dairy products? They're on there. Same thing with eggs. Are the chickens and family farms where they're able to run around outside, or are they in the confinement? You know, by the way, many of these practices we think are blatantly illegal. And as a governmental watchdog, we're trying to compel the government to crack down on these abuses and might be in court suing the USDA to demand that they crack down on fraudulent activity. But in the meantime, consumers can take this into their own hands and choose the right brands, reward the heroes in the marketplace, and send a message to some of these corporate bad actors that, you know, you might put organic on your label, but it doesn't come up to our standard.
Well, that's really interesting. I'll have to take a look at that on cornucopia.org. Mark Castell from Cornucopia, we appreciate your watchdog approach. And as usual, you always have something interesting to say. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Food Nation Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Did you miss any part of the show? Listen anytime at businesstalkradio.net and click podcasts. And be sure to follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Food Nation Radio. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for Food Nation Radio on the Business Talk Radio Network. This is the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty.